Hi, this is Carl Weinschenk with the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear great music across all eras and genres and to sign up for free email newsletters. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to John Yao. John is a jazz band leader in New York City, and the name of his band is John Yao and his 17-piece instrument. Welcome, John. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Carl. Looking forward to chatting today.
Well, it's my pleasure. First of all, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did. You got it right on the first try.
Okay, it's Murphy's point, because if I didn't ask you, it would have been wrong.
See, right.
It's a quantum kind of thing.
Exactly.
So now that we've got that settled, John, could you please tell the folks where they can learn more about your music, your album, and what you guys are doing?
Sure, absolutely. You can always go to my website, which is www.johnyao.com. And then I'm also working currently on a Kickstarter campaign to fund a 3-concert series for the big band. And so you can also search on Kickstarter under JY17 Jazz Band Concert Series to find out more information about the campaign and, you know, everything that we're trying to do with the band and, you know, all the things we have looking forward to in 2015 and 2016.
Okay. Why don't we, do me a favor, repeat, please, where the Kickstarter campaign is.
The Kickstarter campaign, the name of it is called JY17 New York Jazz Concert Series. So if you search for it, it should come up. Or even if you just search jazz, it'll come up on Kickstarter. And of course, we'll include a link, I think, somewhere for you to find that as well. Or the link is on my website as well. So if you just go to johnyao.com, you can easily, you know, get directed to the Kickstarter.
Great. John, where I'd like to start is where I often start, which is asking folks to describe. This is, I think, especially important with some of the newer jazz type musics that aren't maybe as accessible to as many people as, say, you know, 3-chord rock or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you could describe in kind of layman's terms what you're doing and how you would characterize your music to a layperson. That would be great.
Sure. I guess the group, the John Yao and his 17-piece instrument, the style of music that we're doing is a little difficult to classify, but it's big band jazz that's forward looking. And so it draws from several different influences, but it's including some more avant-garde jazz, some experimental, but then it also, you know, has connections to, you know, more traditional and contemporary big band swing and traditional jazz ensembles, big band jazz ensembles. So it's kind of a mix of, you know, kind of looking forward and staying, you know, connected to the tradition of big band. Mm-hmm. So it draws from a bunch of different influences, but, you know, it's a little bit of everything. And yeah, it's just, it's been a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah, I what I did listen to, I heard some Count Basie in there. Was I off base on that? Or?
No, absolutely. I mean, it, you know, it's one of these. You know, as a trombone player myself, I've been playing in big bands all my life. So I, you know, I think it would be really hard to not have some connection to, you know, some of the great bands like Count Basie or Duke Ellington. And the idea is for the band to have some of that influence, and it, you know, draws from that, but it's, you know, it's not trying to, it's not a repertoire band where we're trying to replicate exactly like, you know, the Basie band would have played. So, you know, it definitely has that reference to it, and it wouldn't be here if it weren't for the Basie band. But, you know, we're trying to push the envelope a little bit more in terms of big band jazz style and genre in general.
Do you hear anything from people from the big band era who are still here, or big band fans about what you're doing? I mean, what's the reaction you get?
Yeah, no, I get a lot of positive reactions. I think people, I've been told a couple times from people that are big fans of big band jazz or just jazz in general that, that, you know, my music is, it was a friend of mine described recently that it's, you know, it like it gets you comfortable into a place that sounds sort of familiar to you. And then I pull the rug out and all of a sudden you're in a totally different place. And so, you know, I think people get that it's has this connection to the big band, genre, but it's also trying to, like I said, push the envelope and take you into a different place that maybe you weren't expecting to go. And I think that's also, as a listener, for me, I think that's a fun thing. And I like the idea of kind of, you know, taking people that to a place that maybe they're not, you know, weren't expecting to go to, or maybe they're not even ready to go to, you know, a place where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everything changes and they're not in the swing era anymore. And then to bring it back around and just, it's nice. I enjoy that the idea of having people, you know, listen to something that maybe they wouldn't normally listen to.
So is what I'm about to say kind of what you were saying in a different way? When I think of big bands, I think of things that are very highly melodic, that there's a very, very strong, and I'm not trying to sound like an expert because I'm not, but things that have a very, very strong melodic flow to them. And that's, to me, a lot of really the attraction of the big bands. Whereas when I think of avant-garde jazz, the melodies aren't as obvious. So it seems like almost what you're saying and how I'm thinking about it is almost what you're doing really has inherent contradictions in it, and you could do a lot of fun things just playing off the contradictions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I enjoy that a lot. And I think, I mean, there's the, I like blurring the lines, you know, like taking, so one of the pieces, actually the title track is Flip Flop from the record, is really just, there's no harmony going on at all. And pretty much throughout the entire piece, it's atonal, but all the melodic material and all the, you know, the chords and everything that I managed to sort of come up with are based off a 12 tone row. And so, you know, I was trying to kind of make it sound like a mix of 12 tone with straight ahead contemporary jazz, kind of a modal feel. But, and so, yeah, that's why it's, and the thing that's nice about that too, is that since there's no chords and it's very open, it sounds different each time, and so people aren't locked into certain harmony necessarily, and it makes for, as a listener and a band leader and as a player, a really interesting experience, because every time we play that piece, it goes to a totally different place, and it's never anywhere I would expect it to go. I really enjoy that, and so blurring those lines of kind of, you know, taking people into places they weren't expecting to go, that piece is a really great example of that, I believe. Flip Flop, the first track.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm gonna back off because we will We're getting into areas where, you know, I was going to be in my head. I was very close to embarrassing myself. So apparently I made it through that part. Now, in the video at the Kickstarter campaign, you talk about some of the aspects of some of the the points around the fact that really what I got out of it is the jazz scene in New York is very, very vibrant. But it's not necessarily customized around 17-piece bands. And that sounds like another challenge you're facing.
Yeah, yes, definitely. I mean, there are many bands. There's several large ensembles that have been at these places for many, many years. I think the Vanguard's coming up on, I want to say 30 or 40 years in February. There's established bands, but then there's a lot of bands that have started it, and I would say in the last 5-10 years, and a lot of it has to do with some of the BMI workshop, which I was part of, and then there was a venue in Brooklyn that was having a different big band every Monday night, and so all these bands kind of started there, and including mine, and then that, of course, unfortunately that place closed. And yeah, there's not enough space for large ensembles to play, and of course, you know, funding a group of 17 musicians is also a difficult challenge too. So the concert series is meant to help my band, which we just released a CD, is to kind of keep that momentum going and keep the band playing, and to find a home for the band, a regular place, you know, for us to play. Mm-hmm. Because that's where all the great stuff happens is on the bandstand. So the band needs to be out playing and working on a regular basis because, you know, it's not enough to just play once a year with a big band. That you don't, you know, good things may happen, but the really fun, interesting things, you know, on the bandstand will happen over a course of time of playing on a regular basis, that, you know, people just trying stuff out because you know that you get a chance to play it again next week or next month. And, right. You know, that's usually where the really cool things happen. So, you know, I'm trying to find a regular place for my band to kind of have that opportunity.
How different does a tune sound from performance to performance? Does it sound almost the same, or does it, when you say it goes off in a different direction, is it, you know, really going off in a different direction?
Yeah. I mean, well, some of for my music, some tunes are pretty close to staying, you know, in the same territory, if you will. Mm-hmm. But some of them have a lot more freedom where Flip Flop, for example, there's no chord changes. And, you know, I just put it in the hands of the musicians, you know. The rhythm section and the soloist and every time it's totally different. Illumination has a lot of different moments because there's a lot of cued material that's on top of a repeating loop. And so, you know, there's different energy going on each time we play it. And so I'm cueing things in at different times. There's a wide variety of change, like a really wide variety on some tunes, and some tunes, you know, a little less. But every time it's different, and to me, that's a beautiful thing. I enjoy seeing what these guys come up with. You know, I have these ideas in my head of what might sound interesting, and I put it on paper, and then they take it to a place that I can, you know, would never imagine.
Are you conducting while during this? Or are you playing a trombone?
Correct. Yeah, I mostly conducting. There's a few tunes I play trombone, out front, and maybe play a melody like a solo, but primarily I'm conducting the ensemble. And because some pieces are more involved than others, so that, you know, therefore I can kind of step off the side. But for the most part, yeah, I'm the one up front kind of cueing sections, and because some of the pieces are more involved than some of the other ones. So
mm-hmm. On the video, you said that the musicians are handpicked, you know, people you know, people you've seen perform. What were the criteria? What did you look for?
I guess Well, I played with all these people, so I guess the criteria was just, first of all, was just like, are you easy to work with? Are you a good person? Are you gonna make are you a team player, or is it all about you? And it's pretty easy to spot that. And all these guys are, fit that criteria right off the bat. Because as a big band, the solo opportunities are not as many as in a small group. So you have to be okay with just playing your part and being part of the band and enjoying that part of it. And so that was the first thing. And then, of course, just the different sounds and the people's tone quality is a big thing. Like who, the lead trumpet player, what am I looking for there? What kind of drummer? Those two chairs are really important. Is this person like Vince is so versatile. Vince Cherico, the drummer, he can play in such a wide variety of styles, such a great reader. And he's so dedicated. And so, it's just looking for people that I thought would be good combinations together as well. And then having some variety of different types of soloists, within a section. So, maybe one person is, maybe more comfortable playing in a straight ahead, traditional setting in terms of improv, and then some guys that are like just like John Robigan or John O'Callaghan, you can just say go, and they're gonna come up with something amazing every time, and it's never the same. So just looking for a variety of different of soloists, people that were good team players and had a great sound and that were, good people, easy to work with, and I couldn't be happier with the group that I have, and it's a joy to work with them, and joy to write for them.
Now, the Kickstarter campaign is to finance these three shows that you want to do. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Where, if it happens, where are those shows?
I'm
And when?
okay. Well, the first one is going to be in December 10th, and we are hosting the events at the Greenwich Music House, which is a music school down in the West Village, and it's a really great location. It's a great room. They've got great pianos. They're really nice, easy to work with there. And it's a nice sounding room. And so I've played there a few times with my group and some other groups, and there's actually a number of other performers who play there all the time on a regular basis. So it's a really, I think it's an ideal place for us to do it. So that's likely where it's going to be. And then the other events are going to be, I'm still working on dates, but probably in March and maybe in June of 2016. But the first one's coming up in December 10th.
Okay, great. What good questions haven't I asked you? That's always when I do
Oof.
IT and telecom interviews, which is what I actually do for a living. That's always my last question.
Oof,
What
that's
did
a
I miss?
tough one. What did you miss? I don't know.
Well, I guess I'm just a great interviewer then.
No, that's a hard one. I just been thinking about what I'm gonna say. I guess,
As my phone rings in the background.
sure.
This is live TV, guys.
Right. I guess I don't know if there was any specific thing, any specific spots in any of the pieces. I know you didn't maybe didn't chance to listen to everything, but if there was one piece that you were curious about or anything specific going on in a certain song, it would be nice to talk about maybe.
I enjoy avant-garde jazz. I go back to, I'm the age from. I know he wasn't jazz really, even though he got there to some extent. I was a big Frank Zappa fan, or I am a big Frank Zappa fan, and I know it's not
Yes.
exactly the same thing, but it all blends together at some point. So I enjoy it. I don't really get it, and I found out about art, you don't really have to get it,
Sure,
you
no,
just
just
have to
fun.
enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I love Frank Zappa. I agree with you. I tell that to my wife all the time. She's, about she's like, "Well, I just don't know if I understand it." I'm like, "It doesn't matter.
Right.
As long as you like it, cool. Or if you don't like it, that's cool too."
Right.
But yeah, Frank Zappa is great musician. I don't know if I could say, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's an influence in some long convoluted way. But yeah, I enjoy some of the things that he does in his music, how he's able to kind of just the band shifting styles and playing, songs that in different, different grooves and different tempos. And and then the other part of it is just the element of sort of comedy that he brings to music. It's not so serious all the time. And that's one of the things that I guess I try to bring into the music. We have an element of serious, like we're gonna, really play some serious jazz here. But that's, it's all, I like to have fun with the band. That's another part of the group is everyone in the band is such good people. Everyone likes to have a good time. Everyone laughs and has fun in the rehearsals, on the bandstand, on the breaks. And that translates into good music. Every time I've been in a band where everyone gets along, it makes for great music. And when guys don't get along, it can still be good, but it's just something
Something.
different that gets brought into the music. You can't necessarily quantify it. But when everyone, is pulling for each other and has a great time and is enjoying themselves, like genuinely, it makes for such great music. And I feel like that, my group is special in that sense that we're able to do that on a regular basis.
And who are your trombone heroes? Trombone's not popular.
Sure. No, I mean, I would definitely J.J. Johnson's huge influence. He's kind of the father of modern jazz trombone, if you will. And then I got really into Carl Fontana, of course, and then Frank Rossellino, like in college, was just huge idol, such a great trombone player, great musician. And then, of course, and then Conrad Hirwig was another big influence of mine. Yeah, I mean, of course, drawing from many other instruments as well. But and then I recently, well, I guess not that recent, but Luis Bonilla, who's playing first trombone in the band, was my teacher at Queens College when I first moved to town in 2005. So he's a huge influence on me and been a great mentor, a great friend, great, just great all around person to know. So yeah, I've definitely, pulled a lot of influence from him as well.
It always seemed to me, from again being a layperson, that the trombone was the hardest one, the hardest instrument. It just was something very difficult looking about playing trombone. I mean, there's no, you got to know where that thing goes all the time. There's no marks, you know. It's not
Right.
a trumpet where you're either pushing down on one of three little tubes, you know.
Yeah. No, I teach beginning band all for many years now, and so we're kind of right now in the thick of it, with the beginning students, and so I'm demonstrating all the instruments for them, and trombone. That's the question I always get, like, how do you know? And it's actually not as complicated as you might think, and you'd be surprised how once you kind of train yourself, muscle memory takes over, and then you're not thinking about where the slide goes, But in the beginning, of course, you gotta like keep reminding yourself that, third position's right by the bell. And, but yeah, it's this muscle memory. It's kind of a crazy thing.
The mind is amazing.
It
John, if you could please let us know again where folks can learn more about you and where they can find the Kickstarter campaign. That would be great.
Absolutely. You can visit my website, www.johnyao, johnyao.com. And if you go to the news page, the very first entry has a link for you to get to the Kickstarter. And so that's probably the easiest way to go. But if you end up wanting to go on Kickstarter yourself, you just search jazz and it will come up as JY17 New York City Jazz Concert Series.
Beautiful. Listen, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time out. It's been a pleasure. I wish you luck with the Kickstarter campaign, of course, with the music, and maybe I'll check you out in the city sometime.
Yes, thank you so much, Carl. We'd love to have you at any of the upcoming concerts. Thanks for having me.
Beautiful. This is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please check it out for great music across all eras and genres, and to sign up with some free email newsletters. Bye-bye, everybody.